Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. John's Lutheran Church in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. To learn more about St. John's, please visit our website at www.sjtosa.org. This week's sermon for the fourth Sunday of Easter is based on Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 32. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Here's this week's sermon on His Shepherds and His Sheep from Pastor Eric Schrader.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Once again, we return our attention to the first reading for today from Acts chapter 20. It is God's Word. Throughout the history of the Christian church, any number of traditions have developed over those 20 centuries or so. And some of them we might appreciate, and others of them not so much. Some of them make a lot of sense to us, very practical. We can see the reason behind it, and others of them might leave us wondering a little bit. Well, why are we doing this? Who thought of this? Where did this come from? Some of them we know, and so we look forward to them, and we might even count down to them as they approach, and others of them catch us a little bit more off guard. Maybe we never learned about them. Or maybe we did, but we forgot, and then when we come into church, we get surprised by them. I wonder which category Good Shepherd Sunday falls into. I think we can all agree that one of the great traditions of the church, of the Christian church, is the structure of the church year. They say that repetition is the mother of learning. And so the older each of us gets, the more times we repeat this, and hopefully we grow in appreciation that every year, on an annual basis, we get to review the life and the ministry and the saving work of Jesus Christ. And even though there might be some slight deviations based on denominational differences, generally speaking, this is something that is widespread throughout the Christian church. And so, most pointedly, Christmas time is always Christmas time for all Christians. And Easter time, within a week or two, Easter time is Easter time. Whether a person calls themselves a Lutheran or a Methodist or a Presbyterian or an Anglican or Catholic. To me, that's a powerful reminder of what Jesus said in our gospel reading for today. It's almost as if he's pointing us ahead, and he's reminding us that when we get to heaven, there's not going to be all these different pockets. There's not going to be all these different divisions based on what people call themselves. No, Jesus said, there shall be one flock and one shepherd. So for now, our doctrinal differences keep us separate, and there's good reason for that for the time being. But then we'll be perfectly united in confession and in worship and in praise of our singular Savior. So we can certainly look forward to that. But even now, we're under the same Good Shepherd. And all of those church bodies that I mentioned, and many more with different names, different organizations, the fourth Sunday of Easter is always Good Shepherd Sunday. It's one of my favorites because It's an illustration, a shepherd and his sheep, that Scripture uses so often that we have a lot of material to work with. And so it's one of those Sundays, maybe more than most, where the Scripture readings and the hymns and the prayers and hopefully the sermon can be tied together especially well. We have one of those occurrences of this metaphor in our first reading from Acts chapter 20. So a little background here. St. Paul is on his third missionary journey. So they've made this kind of small loop of Turkey over into Greece, and now they're on their way back to Jerusalem, but they make an extra stop to see some old friends. So Paul and his companions, they board a ship to the port city of Miletus, and they send a message. Not far away is the city of Ephesus, where they had planted a church some years earlier, and so they summoned the leaders of the Ephesian church to come and meet them in Miletus. And whether it actually is or it isn't, we don't know, but St. Paul firmly believes that this is the last time that he's ever going to see these friends and co-workers. So there's great weight. There's a gravity to these words. He thinks it's the final instructions that he'll ever have the chance to give them, and they're important for us too. This is part of what he says where our verses pick up. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God which he bought with his own blood. The word pastor means different things to different people. But in the Latin language, it literally means shepherd. And these verses are a big reason why we call pastors shepherds, because just like a shepherd is supposed to watch over a group of sheep, so a pastor is supposed to watch over a group of people, the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made them overseers. Of course, a good pastor ought to take this responsibility very seriously, especially when we remember that it's not entirely my choice to be here, and it's not entirely your choice that I'm here. Who gets the credit? Well, God. God the Holy Spirit put me here right now. And a good shepherd is a good pastor is always going to remember whose sheep he is serving, the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. So very important words for me, but I hope you realize they're important words for you too. My prayer is that all of us can take something away today, some words and thoughts that we can apply to our own lives, because even though the immediate context might lead us to think of ourselves as one or the other, it's true that, in a sense, we are all shepherds, even as we are all his sheep. Now, to be fair, your flock looks different from mine, even if there might be some overlap. Your flock might be a classroom, might be a committee, it might be a little slice of a community, it might be a group of coworkers, it might be your own family. And there might be times and circumstances where God is going to entrust just a single soul into your spiritual care, but never underestimate the value of that soul. It is one that Jesus bought with his own blood. And that means each soul is precious to him, so precious that he was willing to sacrifice his life for that soul just like he was for your soul. Who is it going to be? It might be a Christian who needs a little bit of encouragement, needs a reminder of how much Jesus loves them in some tough circumstances. Or it might be somebody on the other side, somebody who has never heard that before. He's never heard the genuine gospel of forgiveness full and free because Jesus died and rose again. Might be that God brings into your circle one of those sheep that Jesus talked about, one of those sheep who is not yet of his sheep pen, but he longs to gather them also into his fold forever, and he intends to use you to accomplish that. What a high calling. What a blessed privilege it is to be his shepherds and his sheep. In our sinful world, we can't take any of this for granted. And we can't expect it to be automatic. We can't expect it to be easy. That's why Paul spoke the way he did. He said, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Good reminder for us all. I hope you can hear the passion that Paul had for the important work of caring for souls coming through there. And why is that so important? Well, as hard as any of us might work to accomplish this, to win souls for Jesus, we have to know that there are those who are working just as hard, if not harder, to draw souls away from him, or to keep souls away from him. Good Shepherd has to keep watch over themselves and over the flock, because there are always going to be enemies, both outside and inside the church. And what's worse, there are enemies outside and inside each one of us. Just as we speak of a holy trinity, we can also speak of an unholy three made up of the devil and the world and, yes, our own sinful flesh. And wherever the sheep gather, we can be sure that these savage wolves are not far away. Sometimes they even dress up in sheep's clothing to deceive and devour precious souls bought with the blood of Christ. But Paul gives us some direction for defense and some encouragement and some confidence as he closes here. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I commit you to God and the word of his grace. It wasn't exactly part of our gospel reading for today, but I'm sure you have heard these words before. They come earlier in John chapter 10, where Jesus identifies his sheep and he characterizes them as those who listen to his voice and follow him. They're the ones who know how to recognize his voice and distinguish it from all the other voices that might be encouraging and enticing them to leave his care. And so too, St. Paul emphasizes the necessity of listening to our good shepherd's voice, hearing the word of God's grace, this message that directs us and empowers us to keep growing in our faith, as we're reminded that this isn't the only voice that we hear, of course. No, we're constantly bombarded by voices in our world. Many of them might be considered neutral, but they can go either way. How many voices do we hear? The ones talking about sports and science and technology and politics and entertainment. And we don't have to say it's wrong to pay a little bit of attention to all of those or any of those. We have our own internal voices that we hear regularly, and that speaks of our own wants and our concerns and our worries and our plans and what we have to do today. Of course, we have to listen to that. We can't avoid it. But we all need to remember that there is one voice that should always take precedence and take priority over any other, because his is the one voice that comes from and then leads to heaven. His is the one voice that is never going to tell us anything but the absolute truth. Always what we need to hear, even if it might not be what we want to hear at the time. His is the only voice that can give us forgiveness and bring about life and salvation through his word to all who humble themselves to hear it. His is the one voice that can bring real comfort and hope and real peace and lasting joy, no matter what the situation. So, as his shepherds and as his sheep, let's all recommit ourselves regularly to hearing the word of his grace, as Paul reminds the Ephesian pastors and us today. Remember how important it is, how vital it is that we hear his word in church and at home, in study and in devotion, as families and as groups and as a church and as individuals, trusting that he is going to do what he promises. He's going to build us up and give us an inheritance among all who are sanctified, all who are set apart for his eternal purposes. And as we do that, more and more, we'll be reminded how blessed we are to be among his sheep. And then on top of that, how blessed we are to be included in his work as his shepherds, who have the great privilege of participating in that saving work as we care for the souls of the people in our life. So today, let's all give thanks for the church tradition that gave us Good Shepherd Sunday. Now and forever, we have the comfort of knowing that as long as Jesus is our Good Shepherd, and he always will be, we lack nothing. Our eternity is secured because he laid down his life for us only to take it back up again, and now he lives and rules to guard us and to guide us, to watch over and protect us, to serve us, and to save us eternally. And as we listen to his voice, let's show in our words and in our actions and in our lives his love for the lost and his desire to strengthen those who are already his shepherds and his sheep. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information on the ministries of St. John's, please visit www.sjtosa.org or find us on Facebook by searching for St. John's Lutheran Wauwatosa. We pray that this sermon has been a light for your path, and we'd love to have you join us for worship whenever you're in the greater Milwaukee area. God bless your week.